Welcome, folks, to episode 3,501, 3501 of the Survival Podcast on a Monday morning. And this is Monday, June the 3rd, 2024. And it means it's early in the month. We just crossed over to a new month. What does that mean? Well, it means that we're in the last month of the first half of the year, and almost half the year has just gone by like a fart in the wind. And tick tock, tick tock, the clock ticks for us all. What are you doing to improve your position in life from a standpoint of independence, financial independence, self-sufficiency, self-reliance, liberty, all of those things? Remember, I do this once in a while for you to remind you about the ticking time that we all have going against us. Life is not a static scale. You're either moving forward or life is moving you backward. There is no static. There is no staying where you are. You either have to advance or you get pushed back. That's just how the world works. Think of it like a creek, and maybe that water's moving kind of slow, but you want to go upstream. If you stop paddling, you end up way the hell away from where you're trying to get to. The other thing that it means, though, is tomorrow will be the first Tuesday of the month. What's that mean? John Willis, Nicole Sauce, and I will be live tomorrow at 9:30 in the morning. So you folks that my typical live stream spots don't work that well for you because of the time of day, maybe early works better. So you can catch the three of us, which is just great. And well, I don't even know what we're talking about yet. We shall find out when it happens. That's how that one always goes for me anyway. What are we going to talk about today? Well, we're going to talk about the fact that Trump was found guilty on 34 counts. I don't really care. I do love watching the left look like baby deer in the headlights about to be run over by a semi, not understanding the blowback that this is causing them. They just don't get it. Just like I said, they wouldn't. So we won't dig so much into the trial as the blowback and what this actually has meant from a fundraising status. And I'm going to say a little bit about the Orange Man after that, after we talk about the blowback, that I actually want the Orange Man to win. I wouldn't go as far to say as I'm supporting him because I don't vote. And me saying I want the Orange Man to win doesn't actually support him in any way. But I want the Orange Man to win. Can you guess why? I won't tell you until we cover that. But I think it'd be interesting if some of you on the live stream there would tell me why you think I want the Orange Man to win. Next up, Tucker Carlson just had an interview with Donald Trump Jr. That's not the important part. The important part is something Carlson said in that interview, not what Trump Jr. said. He said, and I'm paraphrasing here, Ukraine will not exist in 40 years and it will be destroyed by us and our money and our overlaying on them and immigration. Didn't somebody named Spirico tell you that just last week? I just thought that was interesting that it happened that fast. That somebody with a much broader reach than me said the exact same thing in literally a matter of days. I'm glad I got that. I'm glad I got that out on the air, documented before Tucker said it, because people would just say I lifted it from him or some shit like that. Fauci is going back in front of Congress today. Right now, I think he's actually there. He also recently said the 6-foot rule and masking guidelines just sort of appeared. Literally, that's what the jackass said, and admitted that neither one of them's based on jack diddly shit. But the lesson here isn't, oh, I was right and all of us who said it was bullshit were right. That's not the lesson here. The lesson here is, ooh, look at them get Fauci now in front of Congress. No. What is the lesson in all of this? The lesson is that nothing is going to happen to Fauci. Nothing. You can get all giddy if you want to. Thomas Massie's going to, I don't know if he's in front of the House or the Senate today, you know, right? Or Ted Cruz is going to get him or whatever. It's not going to matter. It's not going to matter. This is barely an inconvenience for a very wealthy man who became wealthy at your expense. And we'll talk about the real lesson in that. And it kind of ties into a lesson we should be taking from the Trump verdict that nobody's taking. I've seen a few people kind of comment on it on social media, but nobody, it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't get any traction, even though they're very astute in what they're pointing out. And we'll bring that into it too. Then I got a question for you. Why the hell is the West begging for World War III right now? What the hell do we get out of having World War III? What the hell do we get out of provoking the two largest nuclear powers other than us? And actually the largest nuclear power and the third largest nuclear power at the same time. What possible gain will there be for the American people or the people of Europe if we start World War III? Because we sure as hell seem like we want to. We got Nikki Haley freaking signing bombs in Israel with the Gaza situation saying finish them. Real story. She wrote finish them on a bomb. You are a sick, sick, sick sociopath. And she's crawled her way back in at least a little bit with the Orange Man. We have all of these warmongers everywhere. Victoria Nuland, who Russia calls regime change Karen. Beautiful, beautiful description. Why would we do this? Don't think I have an answer, but we're going to have a discussion about it. I'm interested to think what you guys think. Tim says war props up the dollar. I think war does prop up the dollar. World War III doesn't. Now, is it possible these people are so psychotic they think they could have a limited World War III or some shit like that? Yeah, we'll talk about this because I really want to know what you guys think. And then the U.S. is now spending more on interest than the Department of Defense and Medicaid. Not the two combined, but the interest on our debt is now the second largest budget line item for our country, the highest being Social Security. And Social Security, interest on the debt, Department of Defense, and then Medicaid. Think about that. Think about that. And then somebody told you this would happen in a book they wrote called The Real Truth About Money all the way back in 2014. I'm just saying. Bitcoin is now in a Wisconsin public pension fund. So that means it's like providing backing to the retirement incomes of teachers and cops. Who said that would happen? That's interesting. It's actually a drop in the bucket. It's like $160 million or $130 million, but it's like 0.1% of the entire pension fund. It's a very tiny entry, but the first step is always the most important step. This is now going to come like gangbusters. More and more pension funds are going to start buying this, and I'll explain why. There's two parts to it, and this is why the ETF was always going to be a good thing for Bitcoin and for people who hold Bitcoin. And we'll talk a little bit more about the continuing stupidity of the people that say an ETF is an IOU, and they create these like false equivalencies or false straw mans. I don't even know, like, the level of mental gymnastics these people are going through to shit on everything ETF when nobody that's a Bitcoiner is saying, hey, sell your Bitcoin to BlackRock and buy back the ETF. No one's telling anybody to do that. But we'll talk about that. And Jeff says, is Bitcoin a way to get past the unfunded liabilities? That might become a talking point today. I don't know. I'm going to start anyway. Please remember, if you have questions for me and you're watching the live stream, put question in all caps, especially on a day like today where I'm alone and I have to focus with my one eye on doing everything else plus your question. And that'll make it more likely that we'll get you queued up for Q&A at the end. At least I'll respond to you if I can. And then now I'm going to tell you something that I'm going to finish with today that I think is really a perspective we all need to gain very, very quickly. The road is going to get hard. I know some of you are like, hey, Jack, it's been hard a while. I know. Okay. The road is going to get harder. It's not going to get better anytime soon. You think if the Orange Man wins, even though I say I want him to now, and you still won't probably know why I haven't seen a correct answer yet. But you think if he gets elected, we're not going to have our interest payment on our debt exceed the Department of Defense? Maybe not, because he may jack up defense spending so much that it, you see what I'm saying, right? It doesn't make it any better, and that will all be borrowed money, which will eventually cascade back in, right? We're on track five, 7 years. Interest on the debt exceeds Social Security payments. And that's already insolvent. So, yeah, we're going to talk about what you need to be thinking to not just get through what's coming, but to prosper with it. So that's what we have today. Before we do that, let's go ahead and hear from our sponsors of the day. Sponsor of the day, number one today, is Start 9 Embassy Servers. How about this? How about you take back your digital sovereignty and you realize there is no such thing, and I mean no such thing, as the cloud. The cloud is just a made-up term. It's just somebody else's computer, and when somebody else has your data on their computer, they own you and they own your data, and they can shut you out or they can rat you out. And you might think, oh, I have nothing to hide. Yet we all have something to hide. Show me the man, I'll show you the crime. You should have learned that from the Trump trial. You have no idea what could become a crime in the future. And you could be prosecuted for a crime in the past or simply end up on the list you don't want to. Or how about this? How about it just isn't anybody's business what you're saying, what your information is, who you're communicating with. You can take this all back with a Start9 server, and they give you 9% off if you're an MSB member, which will cover your membership in a big way, especially today. More on that in just a bit. Next up today is JM Bullion. Yes, I am a Bitcoin bull. I am the epitome of a Bitcoin bull. I think that Bitcoin is the best investment for your surplus capital that there is right now and will be for a very, very long time to come. But I don't believe in one investment. I believe in actual diversification. And one of the other places I like to diversify my investing is into physical metal that I can put my hand on and I can exchange. I can leave behind to my heirs. I can just decide one day, you know what, I want to give my son $5,000 of his inheritance. I can just hand it to him. No one knows anything. Me, you, and the fence post. Silver and gold have been rock-solid monetary instruments for thousands of years. They are not going to outperform Bitcoin. They're not, but they're also not going to go to zero, and they're not going to go away. And to me, somewhere in the neighborhood of like 5% of your net wealth should be in silver and gold. But why JM Bullion? Because they've been supporting this show for over a decade, and you'll get better pricing than Monex and Atmex, and you get free shipping. So check them out today at jmbullion.com. With that, let's go ahead and dig into this. Oh, wait. There's something I almost forgot. Can't forget this. MSB is on sale. That's right. MSB is on sale, and it's the first time that I've had a sale on MSB since November of 2022. When COVID started, I did a sale called This Bullshit Sale, right? This Bullshit. And I ran This Bullshit as a discount code for like a year. And so after that, I'm like, no more sales for a while, you know? And then in November of 22, going into 23, I did a sale for Christmas. This last year, I didn't even do that. So it's been a while. So if you've been waiting to join the MSB, get all the great discounts and support the show, you can do it right now for $35. The discount code is TSPC. Can't forget that. It's the show you listen to. TSPC, and you can get your membership again, $35. And yes, it applies to renewals. The discount applies to auto renewals. So when you sign up with auto renew. When your next membership year comes around, unless you cancel, when it renews, you'll get that price back. And if something goes wrong, like a card gets stolen, expires, whatever, you don't keep it updated, and you didn't cancel, if that ever happens to you, just email me. I'll give you a discount code to get your price back. All right, so next. Oh, Builder says, will you accept green pieces of paper in the mail? I'll go ahead and answer that now. For MSB, if you want to pay cash, check, silver, and maybe barter, but you had to reach out to me on that first. There's a form where you sign up, and it's included in the write-up that's on the site right now. You just write the discount code, TSPC, on the form, and we'll adjust accordingly based on that. But, yes, we will take green pieces of paper in the mail. We also take Bitcoin, but that is read the article. It tells you how to do it. It's just go to the Survival Podcast and scroll down until you see the sale announcement. All right, so let's dig into this. Let's start off with the orange man was found guilty. And boy, it didn't take long at all for all of the leftist lunatics to start celebrating as though, I don't know, like they found the grave of Al Capone and sent them, or the vault of Al Capone, and it was really full of gold, and they were getting the gold was being sent to them. I mean, they're like giddy, hysterical, but they're also confused. They're also confused, and I said this last week, didn't I, that there was no good outcome for the left in this. If somehow, some way, he wasn't convicted, that it would be bad for the left. But in many ways, that a conviction would be worse. Now, what I didn't see coming was a guilty on every count of 34 counts for one crime. That is over-the-top, stacking-the-tech bullshit, right? And I'm not going to get into why the trial's bullshit. If you care, you already know why the trial was bullshit. You already know why everything that was done was bullshit. You should already get that. No, I want to talk about the blowback here. So if you're watching the video right now, I have an article up on Fox News. These articles are everywhere, though, and it is basically a single day fundraising record. The first 6 hours after the conviction, they raised $34.8 million. Now, that number right now is north of $80 million. And of that, most of it is direct campaign contributions. There's been some big tech people and stuff. More and more business people are seeing the way the wind blows, and they're throwing the orange man money through his PACs. Those are political action committees. But if you wanted to donate directly to a candidate, you have a cap of somewhere around $3,000 or something like that. Most of these donations have been in the neighborhood of, you know, $50, $100, a couple hundred bucks. And again, we're looking at in the neighborhood of $70, $80 million, maybe north of that at this point. And one of the things that the Trump campaign has put out, that they know that many of these people sending this money in, this is like first timers. People that never in the past have donated to any political candidate. Okay, that is way bigger news than anybody wants to admit at CNN or MSNBC or any of those other places. It really is. When you start getting people who normally don't to get excited enough to contribute to a candidate, you know something about that person. They're going to vote. There's all of this hoopla about, but will the Nikki Haley contingent really, like, listen, here's the truth about this. You want the no bullshit redneck duck farmer version? Anybody that was ever potentially going to vote for Trump is now either going to vote for Trump or still potentially going to vote for Trump. There is nobody that ever was going to vote for the orange man who will be dissuaded by this trial at all. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care. Well, we ran a poll and we asked if he was convicted of a felony. That's very generic and it's also bullshit. There is no one who ever was going to vote for him who will not now, because the DA, I mean, the fantasy world these people live in, right? Like, there's somebody sitting out there going, you know, I was really thinking about changing my vote to Trump. But after a DA who bragged about suing the man over 100 times brought a case against him that's politically motivated in a district that's 98% liberal, with a liberal judge who contributed to Joe Biden, and a daughter who is a political activist for the left, with a jury that was completely stacked against him, with a completely rigged trial. Now that that happened, I just can't vote for him. But you have to have serious fantasy fucking bullshit in your brain to think that anything like that's a thing, or that Nikki Haley fucking matters in this. You have to be beyond stupid to believe that. But do you know, and here it comes, this is the small thinking. I don't want to be mean to you. I don't want to be mean to you, Chuck, here. Imagine donating money to a billionaire. You are as clueless when you say that. I know what you're trying to say. But when you just say that, like instinctually throw something out, and a lot of it's going on social media right now, of course, in our anarcho space, absolutely, libertarian space, of course. Right. You're not getting it, though. You're being as clueless as the person on MSNBC going, but he's going to be a dictator and never leave office. And he just got convicted of 34 felonies. I don't understand. People are pissed. People are fucking pissed. They don't care that they're donating to a billionaire. And by the way, every fucking political candidate of any means at all, any chance of winning, is already fucking rich. So every political contribution is giving money to a rich person, if you want to believe that, right? But donating to somebody's campaign is not giving them money. The person you're donating money to support cannot spend that money like to buy a house or put it in their bank account or something like that, right? And people are donating that money to make a statement, and that statement is, bluntly, two words, fuck you. And dare I say, as non-political as I try to be, okay? And I don't vote. I take tons of shit for that, even though I'm like, show me where my vote will matter. Then they get really mad because they can't, especially where I live, right? It's Republican. Like, I might as well just go in and just pile on and vote straight ticket Republican. At least that way I voted for all the winners. Because trust me, where I live, every single seat will be won by Republicans, by not even close margins, by the way. I'm talking my state senator, my state rep, my federal reps, the state rep. I mean, I'm sorry, the federal senator, you know, Cruz running for re-election or whatever. Like, there is no way that it goes any other way, so it doesn't matter. I still want Trump to win. And somebody said because liberal tears are carnivore. They're on the carnivore diet. Yeah, the liberal tears taste pretty good. You know, right-wing tears taste pretty good too, by the way. I'm just saying. Tears of anybody that cries over shit like this taste really good. But the left deserves to lose. That's why I want them to lose. I do not believe, even as pragmatic as I am about the whole political bullshit system, I do not believe right now there is any way that the left should be rewarded with anything approaching a victory after pulling this. There should be no reward for this. This is disgraceful, and I don't care if you hate Donald Trump. I don't care if you'd like to see him lowered headfirst slowly into a meat grinder. You still should not be okay with this. You still should not be okay with this. And there's a bigger lesson here that nobody seems to be learning. And like I said, I've seen a few people talk about this on social media. Trump's not even fully learned it yet. Trump's lead issue should start becoming right now, more than the border, more than the wars. Those stay like number two, number three, number four issues with the economy, the border, and the wars. Right? If I'm giving him a winning strategy, but his number one thing he should be doing should be the judicial and criminal justice reform. Because you look at this and say, look what they did to Trump. Wow. You don't understand. And all the people talking about it, and all these freaking assholes on Fox News, by the way. Yeah, here it comes. Hammer to the head of the right, too. Okay? All their bullshit. This has never been done before. Not to a president and billionaire. This is done every fucking day to regular people by the justice system. You stack 87 counts. Now, most of the time what happens is this. You got the guy on a little thing. But the DA, the prosecutor, knows I can get this motherfucker hard. So they stack a whole bunch of shit. The guy gets a public defender, and they say, look, you're looking at 14 years minimum. But sign this piece of paper, waive your right of appeal, and we'll let you off with 2 years. And if you're a good boy, you'll be out in 6 months. And that person ends up making the calculation that it isn't worth it. It isn't worth it. And so they go ahead and they give in and they sign. And then they end up in a system they can never get out of. It is, once you have been, especially in some states like New York, like Pennsylvania, like California, once you've been put into that system, it is a lifetime of having to be perfect to get out of it. It just keeps coming, especially if it's a felony. Especially even if it's the lowest level of felonies, right? Now, a lot of times that first deal will come with a misdemeanor, but that misdemeanor will lead to, in the future, a thing that wouldn't have been a misdemeanor becomes, or would have been a misdemeanor becomes a felony. There's all kinds of shit like that that are going on. This happens all the time. And it's happened to people that I know. I know two people who I'm very close to that have both been to prison, and neither one of them deserved it. Neither one of them deserved it. But neither one of them had the resources to fight it. And you guys know who both of them are. It's up to you if you want to figure it out. But if I know two people that this happened to personally in real life, how many of them are out there? How many of them are out there? The orange man needs to win so that the left loses. But if the orange man is going to do anything now, it should be complete, wholesale, total ripping from asunder the way the criminal justice system works. Here's the problem. He can only do so much. He can only do that at the federal level. The state of Texas, the state of Florida, the state of New York, can do whatever the fuck it wants. Could do it, but you could maybe at least shine a light on it. And I honestly think this competition that's kind of building among states, like we have a fair judicial system, would be a real star if any of them did. Because this shit, and I'll tell you another thing that needs to happen in our justice system. Fucking judges have too much power. Fucking judges, here's one thing in that trial that really hasn't been talked about sufficiently, if anybody that's analyzed it. There was a gentleman from the federal government, I don't remember his name now, but he was a former federal prosecutor. The defense wanted to call him and say, look, you've given three possible ways that there was another crime here, even though you didn't name him. let's kill it right now. Let's talk to somebody who prosecuted at the federal level and ask him if these are election crimes. And what happened? What happened? The judge said you can't have him testify. You think it's limited to Trump? Let me tell you another story. I'm about to use a name right now that many of you are going to bristle when you hear it. And you think that murderous motherfucker needs to die in prison or be electrocuted or beaten to death by a prison gang. But you don't know what you don't know. This name is Scott Peterson, the man who supposedly murdered his wife, got in a boat, went out in a San Francisco Bay and dumped her out of the boat. And then she was later found washed up on shore and her, you know, partially developed child in her body was dead with her. He killed. So two counts of homicide. We won't even get into that issue with the state of California and calling that a second homicide. Yeah, whatever. Okay, here's something you probably don't know unless you've actually researched this trial. Well, here's a couple things you don't know. Several members of the jury who refused to vote guilty were thrown off the jury and replaced by alternates. Did you know that? I mean, that's right. Like, just like we don't like this person, they won't go along. So the judge kicked them off the case and put alternate jurors in to get a guilty verdict. But this is the bigger one. Scott Peterson's defense team took a boat exactly like the boat Scott Peterson had. Now, when I heard that he took a boat out onto this San Francisco Bay, incredibly dangerous body of water, and dumped his wife off, and I saw something like a cabin cruiser in my head. Like, I think most people would. Most people would be like, yeah, you're talking about like a significant boat. Well, it turned out it was like a flat-bottom John boat and a little-ass one at that. So they take a boat. Exact same boat, same motor, completely outfit the same way. They get a dummy mannequin, exactly Lacey Peterson's weight, wrap her up the way that her body was found, put it in the boat, put a man in the boat, exactly Scott Peterson's weight, went to a park, put the boat on a pond, and had this man simply try to dump the body out of the boat. Every single way that he tried to do it, sank the fucking boat on a calm, no current pond. Have you ever driven across San Francisco Bay? Okay, I'm not saying Peterson's guilty or innocent. I'm saying the judge said we're not going to allow that evidence to be admitted because this guy over here says it can be done. Well, the prosecution was well within their rights to recreate the experiment and demonstrate that, I don't know, the defense guy was full of shit. He was rigging it. He was causing it, whatever they wanted to. No. Judge just says no. Now, if I'm a jury member and after the fact, I find out that a piece of evidence like that, when I'm judging a man's future and his life, especially in some states, we would still have the death penalty. And I'm issuing a guilty verdict where if I say guilty, this man may be taken and executed. I want to fucking know everything. These judges, I'm telling you, they have way too much power. They threaten people all the time because they can. Hey, shut your fucking mouth. Don't say another word or I'll throw you in jail for the night. I'm sorry. I get that courtrooms need to be kept in some semblance of order, but I have never met a judge without a fucking God complex. Not once. At least while they're actively a judge, especially in that type of situation. Now, there's judges that are more procedural stuff, handle adoptions, whatever. Okay, those guys maybe not so much. But even them, a little bit. You know, when your first response always is to threaten somebody with your power, you have a God complex. Somebody says Alex Jones was the first target. I am going to tell you, I don't think he was the first anything. And his crying spree he's been doing over the weekend just reminds me of Jimmy Swaggart. I can only get so much sympathy for Jones. I'm sorry. I do think what's being done is wrong, but, you know, we all have to pick our battles, and he's not someone I'm willing to go to battle for. Anyway, let's move on. This is from RT, so I know that they're special children. And I'll tell you a little bit about a special child from the audience here in a moment that was emailing me today. Because apparently I'm Schrodinger's podcaster. Think about that. I'll come back to it. So, but Tucker Carlson just said Ukraine won't exist in 50 years. And he went on to say the country will be sold to foreign investors and its population replaced through immigration. Okay, that's what he said. Now, when I posted this article this morning, or was it yesterday? Whatever day I posted it, I had so many people use the ad hominem fallacy. But it's RT. But it's an RT article about an interview that Tucker Carlson did with Don Jr. Why don't you go look up the interview and see if it really happened? Tool of Putin! What? Or, yeah, oh, that doesn't matter. He's a tool of Putin, too, or whatever. No, this is the point. What the man is saying, isn't it exactly what I told you last week? Didn't I tell you last week the following? Ukraine was designed to fail from the beginning. They knew it was going to fail. They knew there was no way the Ukrainian military could defeat the Russian military. So unless we're going to push this to World War III, and we're going to talk about that later in the show, but unless we're actually going to cause World War III over this, then the people that did this had to know going in what was going to happen. And we do a disservice to ourselves when we assume the people that run this shit are really stupid. They are not stupid. They do stupid shit all the time. They are not stupid people. They're not. They're stupid among them. But the people that actually have enough power to make this shit happen, to pull the right lever and the right string to make the right politician do the right thing to get what they want, which was this conflict, they're not so stupid they didn't know what the results were going to be. So when people say, well, how do you get these things even before people that have, you know, obviously Tucker Carlson has a department of people who can do research for him with sources all over the world. How do I beat these people so frequently? And I do. I told you guys about the hot hydroxychloroquine thing coming before anybody, 2 weeks before any press was on it at all. Right? How? Because I just look at facts, logic, and reason, and then I make guesses based on that, and then I use the sources I do have, okay, to confirm the legitimacy of the underlying evidence, not my prediction. And that's what happened here, bros and gals, right? Like, bros and sisters, that's what happened. All I had to do was look at this, and I actually know that I said that a year ago. I just don't remember when, but I absolutely know last week I said it, right? And plenty of you here are probably like, yeah, I heard him say it, right? This is going to be a clusterfuck. This is going to be a clusterfuck. Eventually, and I would say in less than a year, if the orange man gets elected, if this is still going on, it won't make it probably to inauguration day before reality sets in, because he is going to pull the plug on the money. And once you pull the plug on the money, it is over and done. It is over and done. And what's going to happen is there's going to be all this consternation of Russia needs to give the territory back, and Russia's going to be like, you know what? Fuck no. No, we're not doing that. There was a way to resolve this peacefully years ago. You guys made a fake agreement. Then you made a second fake agreement. You kept neither of the fake agreements. You caused this. We have blood and treasure into this. We're not, and we have a vote of the people in the region that says they don't want to be part of you anymore. And we don't need this on our border again. We need some buffer. You're not getting it back. And then they'll keep talking like it matters. It's not. They'll steal some Russian money from SWIFT to help rebuild Ukraine. It'll never be enough. Then we'll be having debates about aid packages to rebuild Ukraine. BlackRock's going to get rich as fuck. Brown and Root's going to get rich as fuck. All these contracting agencies, government contractors, they'll send in like Blackwater type troops as well for security that will be completely unnecessary. And we're going to rebuild it. And when they look around to rebuild it, they're going to be like, well, we need like 10,000 construction workers over here for this project that the U.S. government's paying for, while our own streets and bridges rot to the ground. And they're going to be like, we just don't have enough there aren't enough Ukrainians willing to do the work. But in this case, they'll be right because you killed them and maimed so damn many of them by the millions. Country's not that big. You know how many people left Ukraine? You know how many people left Ukraine that are not fucking going back? Like, there's nothing you're going to do to get them to go back. You could tell them they have to. They're not going back. They're out. So you have no workforce for a project of this scale at this point, because the scale of the project will be greater than the scale of the damage. We have to make it better than it was so it can join the EU and NATO someday, right? That's what they keep saying. They're like, yeah, you're not getting NATO, but you're going to get NATO, right? Just so they can keep that little carrot out there for everybody to look at. And I think 40 years is what Carlson said. I think is overly optimistic. Oh, 50 years, he said. I think it's overly optimistic. I don't think Ukraine will exist as it's known with individual identity in 20 years, if that. If that. It's yeah, I agree with Chuck here. Chuck Norris Gun Club. Ukraine is already finished. Yeah, it's done. And you know, the articles are starting to come out now about the fact that everybody knows it's done. Scott Ritter recently wrote a really great article basically describing the way the war ends and laying out the case that militarily there is no way for this to work. Now, I want to hold just a minute before we get into why the West is begging for World War III and talk about Fauci a bit. Because there is another possible ending to this, and it's much worse. And I really pray that we don't ever have it happen. But before that, I want to talk about Fauci. And probably a different angle than you would expect. Fauci said, it just sort of appeared that 6 feet is going to be the distance. It just appeared. Now, this man stood in front of all of you and said it over and over and over again. And here's an article, and there's many such articles of this. Fauci's basically admitted masks didn't do shit, social distancing didn't do shit, and they really had nothing to base their claims on in the first place. And so now, you know, the Congress is all ready to go. They're dragging him to D.C. again so he can go testify again. And boy, this time, like Dan McAdams from the Ron Paul team, right? And I love Dan. He's like, wouldn't want to be you. And he posted a thing about him. I'm like, Dan, it's not going to matter. It's not going to matter. So this is what's going to happen. Let me do Carnac the Magnificent. Some of you are old enough to know who Carnac was, but I don't have an envelope. I'll just use this piece of paper, pretend it's an envelope. Nothing. That's what's going to happen. Nothing. They're gonna do their song and dance routine, comma, again. Okay? Right? Actually, it should be song and dance routine, period, again, period, in Congress. They're going to bring Fauci in front of a committee. And they're going to take turns, and the right-wing idiot is going to go, well, Dr. Fauci, don't you think you owe the American people an apology? Don't you think that you lied? And he's going to give politician, lawyer-level answers that are already pre-written. And one thing about Fauci, he's very good at memorizing shit. Most doctors are. You have to be to get through medical school, even though the man hasn't friggin' actually treated a patient probably since he was an intern, right? Or a resident, but he hasn't treated a patient in decades. But he still had to be smart enough to get through medical school. So he could memorize shit. So he's going to give his memorized package answers that are non-answers that are cleverly designed to make sure there's no perjury trap. And he's going to get away with it. And then every other person to ask him questions is going to be some retarded liberal Democrat congressperson, right? And they're going to defend him. They're going to pretend to ask questions while actually setting up him up with preordained outcomes as to what he can say, right? And half of them won't even be doing that. They'll just basically talk while he sits there and smiles with his shitty little smirk. And then it will be over, and then it will leave, and then there'll be a bunch of TikTok videos and Instagram videos with little outtakes, both sides claiming they won. There'll be the talking heads will come on Fox News and go, boy, I really gonna get him now. I mean, he's in a pickle. I wouldn't want to be him. And over at CNN and MSNBC, they'll be like, this just shows you how crazy the ultra-MAGA extremist Trump tards are, and they still are on this witch hunt for a man who saved so many millions of lives. And then in 2 news cycles maximum after this, it will go away like a fart in the wind and nothing will happen. Now, what is the lesson there? How stupid our system of government is. I think it's Thomas Sowell that put it this way. It's hard to think of a dumber form of running things than a system where the people who make the decisions bear no consequence for being wrong. Okay, this guy was so wrong that he completely fucked the economy of the United States. And with us going all in on it too, pretty much you can give him credit for half of how fucked the world was. If we didn't do it, there wouldn't have been 99% of other countries going full bore lockdown. When the U.S. got on board, so many other countries got on board. Now, they even went beyond us. I'll give you that. but we're why they got on board. And their people went, well, America says so. Trump says so. And our liberal prime minister say so. I mean, they don't agree on anything. So they this really, and everybody got scared and everybody ran inside. Everybody lived in TP forts. Everybody listened to them say, the masks don't work, the masks do work, the masks don't work, the masks do work. Here's a hamster cage that proves they work. Right? Everybody listened to that. We had their RCT come out, and the differentials between masked and unmasked areas were 0.7%. And they said that was conclusive proof that it did work. I mean, it was so stupid. And it cost billions, hundreds of billions, trillions of dollars globally. And not one government official paid 1 ounce of consequence for it. Not one. Not one. And certainly not any bureaucrats. At least a few people got thrown out of office, but very few. Even Governor Meemaw, right, Whitmer, she got reelected like in a landslide. The woman who shut down half of Walmart. Govern me harder, Meemaw. I'll reelect you. It was pathetic. That's the lesson. You're not going to fix government because there's no consequence when government is wrong. And prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Look at the shit these people get away with on a daily basis. They get away with everything, and they bear no consequence. I've seen Senate hearings. I've seen House hearings. So how much money did this cost taxpayers that you guys screwed this up? Something like $27 million. Well, I'm looking here, sir, and I think it's actually more like $35 million. Well, that could be right. I haven't seen the latest figures. Okay, who in your department was fired for this? We're taking all relevant investigations and overviewing and figuring out what went wrong so we can prevent it. I didn't ask you that. Who got fired for screwing this up and costing the American taxpayers $35 million? Same bullshit answer. Well, we're doing an internal review, and the people who had anything to do with it will be counseled so that we can avoid this. So the answer that they never give, right, is nobody, zero. No one has been held accountable, and no one ever will be. Our system of government makes sure you're only held accountable if the government itself wants to hold you accountable, and in that case, they'll invent a way that you're accountable so that they can do it. And you can look at some current events and see that, but it's not really about that, is it? Tell me in any way how anybody in our government pays for being wrong, other than some of them don't get reelected. But let's remember what happens when you don't get reelected, right? You go on speaking tours and you make millions of dollars. You sell artwork to donors and you come back around the other side with a campaign contribution. Right. Most of the people that were in the Congress, either a House or a senator, right, you know what they do? They get jobs as lobbyists, and they're just lobbyist firms waiting for them. It's the ultimate golden parachute. And the average salary is over $600,000 with expense accounts and things like that that want for nothing. So even the people that don't get reelected do not have a consequence. They don't have to live under the tyranny that they cause. They don't have to live with the poors anymore. The freaking U.S. Capitol, you can drive your car underneath so you don't have to deal with the poors. You get out of your own special garage. They have their own special cafeterias. They don't pay for that food. They have their own fucking fitness clubs. They have a gas station under there. They don't even have to get near you. And that's the elected ones. That's the lesson here. That there's going to be no accountability because there isn't any. So this is why I just completely gave up on all of the like talk radio people and all. It's actually a part of the incentive that made me do this podcast. Because they would say shit like, we're going to hold their feet to the fire. You sound like the biggest retard on planet Earth when you say something like that about our government. How are you going to hold their feet to the fire? I've noticed people get really mad when they say that on social media, and they say, we're going to hold our feet to the fire. I'm like, no, you're not. Yes, we are, moron, libtard, or Trump supporter, depending on which side they're coming from, right? You got to be the other side. And it's like, how are you going to hold them accountable? Then they go into autistic screeching, right? Because they know there is. See, the thing is, people get really angry when you give them the truth. really angry when you give them the truth. Right? Or my special friend from today that I mentioned, right, was over the Russia thing. Over the Russia thing. I sent out an email today because I'm doing a sale for MSB. And if you're a expired member, you shouldn't take the sale I talked about today. You should get the better one because I actually gave a better discount to people who had previously been members. And I sent that email out today. Well, apparently our special friend used to be a member, so he used to like me. But then he heard me talk about Russia, and that made him really angry because I talked about Russia and Ukraine and didn't toe the party line and say, woohoo, Ukraine, right? Those of you who know my actual stances, we should not be involved in this war. It's not our fight. I'm already against the next war, including this one, and we caused this war by razzing up the kid that couldn't win the fight just so we could benefit from seeing the fight. That's what we did. There's no way we ever believed Ukraine could win that conflict. Ukraine couldn't win a conflict against militias in the Donbas for 8 years before Russia put a single boot on the ground. So they weren't going to beat the Russian military. And no matter how much, you can't just buy a victory in war. I'm sorry. It doesn't work. So I think we should just stay out of it. Well, I send this email out saying, hey, if you want to come back, you get this discount. He emails me back. He goes, I guess Russia's not paying you as much as they used to. And I emailed back with a smile. And they're like, well, you're one of those special kids, aren't you? Like, and the exchange went to the level of basically no one takes you seriously anyway. And my response was, so I'm Schrodinger's podcaster, right? I'm Schrodinger's podcaster. I'm so irrelevant that nobody takes me seriously. And at the same time, I'm on the payroll from the Russian government because people take me so seriously, I actually influence this. Well, the bigger lesson in this, for so many things that people get wound up about, and I asked them some questions. I don't think I ever got an answer back. Let's see a special child answered back. No, it doesn't look like it. Nope, no response to it. Basically, I sent him a series of questions just to see if he would answer. And here's what I said. I said, do you think Jack Spirko's opinion has any actual effect on the Russia-Ukraine conflict? By the way, the answer to that, unless you are a simpleton, is no. My opinion has no effect on the outcome of anything here. None. And neither does yours, by the way. If not, why do you care about his opinion? Why are you so angry about the opinion of someone whose opinion doesn't matter? You see? It's because at one time he respected me and I dared be his hero who didn't do what he wanted. That's the worst thing you can do to somebody. That's why I've always said I don't want to be anybody's fucking hero. Because then I don't have the freedom to tell you something that upsets you. That's what we do when we make somebody this model of some kind of bullshit and there's no one out there I should be a hero to. Right? No one. I am not that fucking important, guys. Right? But people do it, and when they do it, they come into this fantasy relationship that they have with you, like that you're their buddy that would never do them wrong. And if you say something they don't want to hear, then you did them wrong, right? But the answer is you shouldn't care about the opinions of people whose opinions don't matter to the thing that you're worried about. Yeah? What do you actually know about Ukraine? How much could you write down of the events from 2000 to 2024 about this situation without using Google? I'm going to go out on a limb, do my Karnak thing again, and the answer is almost nothing for this person. I guarantee you. Since the answer to three is very little, might you need to go beyond the media who has lied to you about so many other things? And I've asked this guy to Google Gelman amnesia, and I asked him, why haven't you done that yet? And why do these questions anger you, right? And the lesson in that is so much of the things, just like our special friend here, that so many of you put your energy and attention and focus on are like that. We all have our things that we get emotionally triggered on. And the more we step out into the world of defining that as absolute truth, the more we will defend it in an illogical way. There's plenty of people defending Donald Trump in very illogical ways right now, like super mental gymnastics, right? But every once in a while, I see an honest person, kind of like me. Yeah, well, I don't give a fuck. I still want him to win because these things he's better at than that, or like I feel, just they deserve to lose now. They just deserve to lose. They have to lose. But the gymnastics I see people go through to defend Trump are bad. The Biden defense, I mean, I literally saw somebody recently on Twitter saying it is perfectly normal for a father to shower with an 11 or 12-year-old daughter. Okay, no. And the person that said that, they're not some like four different crayon color headed tranny or something. No. This person that said this does not believe it. Right? But they will convince themselves that they believe it because they have to. They have chosen a side in a false dichotomy. And once you do that, you have to defend your side. You have to defend your side. And they don't have an alternative. I'm telling you right now, if they do roll out a Gavin Newsom or somehow take a gamble on Cackles or somebody else at the Democrat convention, the Democrats that are defending Joe Biden will instantly devour what's left of his corpse. They will turn on him that fast. Look at what the left's done to Nikki Haley. Man, the left love them some stick up the ass warmongering Nikki Haley until she said, well, you know, when it comes right down to it, I'm going to vote for Trump because I completely stand behind what I said about the man, but it's the only choice we have. Oh, now they just have to massacre her, right? Because it's partisan. And partisan, when you get into the partisan world, reality doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter anymore. You're just going to defend what your side says and does no matter what. And again, I'm back to the fact that we're in a situation here where we just need to accept that we're not going to hold our feet to the fire. There is going to be no accountability. We get very little influence on that part of the world. Where we actually influence the political is in our actions, not in our votes, not in our words, not in our posts, not in our memes, not in our letters to our representatives. When the biggest thing we can do is mock them and get around their bullshit to the point where we get around their bullshit so successfully that laws are repealed or not enforced because it's just not working anymore. And that can be done in a push-pull. There can be like cannabis is a good example. Like, you know, before a single state legalized cannabis, if you wanted to score some weed in a place you didn't even live, you could take a walk through a neighborhood and in 5 minutes you could probably find some. We all knew somebody that had some, right? Even if we didn't use it ourselves, everybody knew somebody. There was no stopping it. There was nothing that really could be done except to like the big time dealers and stuff when they would do big takedowns. And at the same time that basically it was made irrelevant by the fact that people didn't care that there was a law, there was enough public sentiment drug that direction. Because since everybody knew somebody, like, wait a minute, this guy doesn't cause any trouble, right? This guy's not causing any trouble when he smokes his pot. Why should he get thrown in jail? That made it tenable to get these loophole laws and state-level decrim laws and things like that passed. That's how we get things done. We're not going to elect a single person and fix it. It's not going to happen. All right. Now, what Bonnie's asking what my shirt says. This is a Vigilantes shirt. I had them on a long time ago, and it's plants don't need permission, and neither do you. It's about guerrilla gardening. Moving on, let's talk about the West begging for World War III. I sit and I look at this the way that you kind of look at a car sliding into another car and both of them are going to go off the cliff, but you're not sure the impact's going to happen, but it sure looks like it is. And there's nothing you can do. Or like when you drop that glass and time seems to slow down, but there's not enough time to grab it and you just see it falling and you're just like, I can't believe this is going to smash, right? That's kind of looking at the West posture toward Russia and Ukraine right now, how I'm feeling. And then don't think for a minute that what's going on in Israel and Gaza is not part of a world war. Like basically what I'm telling you is we already are in a world war. We're just in a very muted, muffled world war. And the question is it going to fizzle out or explode? And I'm trying to see how these maniacs possibly think this is going to be beneficial to them. You know, this isn't like getting a bunch of people razzed up, sending in some FBI guys and talking to them and breaking some windows and taking a shit on Nancy Pelosi's desk. And then you can just send in the troops when you're ready to wind it down, knock it down in a couple hours, pretend it's worse than 9/11 and Pearl Harbor Day put together, and then use it to your political gain for the next 5 years. It doesn't work like that. Once the Luftballoon start going off, everything changes forever. And what have we been doing since the beginning of this? Blah, 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 nuclear war. And then Russia responds with, you know, we have those too. You better stop talking about this. And they go, look, Putin's threatening nuclear war. In every instance that Putin has mentioned Russia's nuclear capabilities, the United States popped off the mouth at it first. Either saying, hey, this could turn into nuclear, we have nuclear assets, or, you know, he might hit us with nuclear weapons. We always are the first ones to say it, to get him to say it back, and then we'd spin it. Right? I know some of you, he's a tool of Putin. No, I'm not on anybody's side in this as far as governments. I am on the side of not killing millions of people and destroying entire countries and cities. Right? That's what I'm on the side of here. That's the side I'm on. I stand with that. I stand with not having a nuclear fucking war. Here's my thing. I don't think Ukraine's worth it. I don't. I listen to these people on TV. I heard a person this weekend. Ukraine is not just fighting for their freedom. They're fighting for America's freedom too. And no one challenges this freaking pea brain on this claim. All the other people sitting there, oh, yeah, oh, wow, yeah, that's very insightful. That's about as insightful as sticking your head up your own ass, sniffing really hard, and going, why does it stink? That's how insightful that is. Like, I'm impressed that you got your head up your own ass. I'm confused as to why you're confused as to why there's a bad smell and why it's dark in there. Right? Like, just how in the fuck? Somebody tell me right now, there's got to be one of you holdouts in this live stream. There's over 200 of you here now. You tell me how in the hell Ukraine is fighting for our freedom. That's even dumber when you tell me that when I served in the Army back in the early 90s that I was fighting for your freedom. And I'm telling you, no, I wasn't. And you say, yes, you were. I've literally had people tell me that. You were fighting for our freedom. No, I wasn't. Yes, you were. But don't tell me the fuck what I was doing. I took a job. I wanted to get out of a small-ass town. It was a job. I wasn't fighting for your freedom. I wasn't fighting for your right to fucking vote. I did believe in service at the time. I did come from a family of service, but that doesn't mean I was fighting for your freedom. That's an asinine statement. But to say that Ukraine is in a conflict with Russia and therefore is fighting for the freedom of Tom who lives in Florida, you have to be a special kind of stupid. Why are we doing this? So I believe that this is the gamble. And God, I hope I'm right about the gamble. And God, I actually want their gamble to pay off instead of go the other way. I believe what they want to do is create the illusion of World War III starting. But at the same time, you know, Biden said to Ukraine now, hey, it's okay for you to use the weapons we gave you and strike like all the way into Moscow and shit. That's fine. Right? And there's weapons that are being fired into Russia now that there is no way the Ukrainians are actually firing. They're weapon systems that we have not had time to adequately train Ukrainians how to use. Okay? So that means it's either us or it's France or it's the UK that's doing this shit. And Russia knows it too. So that's what I say. We're already in World War III. We already have NATO freaking countries and their soldiers launching strikes into Russia proper. That's already happening. My hope is that I'm right about this, that their goal is to make it look like we're in the exact edge of World War III, and there's some back channel of Putin going, look, man, we know where this is going. We have to save face. You have to save face. This is how it's got to be. And their goal when they roll into Ukraine now is to say, we backed them down, man. We told Putin the way it was. Yeah. He took this piece of land that he always said was the only thing he wanted. But if it wasn't for us, man, he would have rolled over all of Ukraine and Germany would have been next. And then use this as an excuse to do a lot of things like they did after 9/11, like the Patriot Act, more of this shit, more with controls on capital controls, CBDCs, et cetera, 15-minute cities, have to be less dependent on distribution models, more local food, which, you know, doesn't mean everything and it's bad. Local food would be good, except when it's toxic shit, which is what it will be. Right? That's what I think they're playing at, because an actual World War III does not benefit them. I'm talking World War III. Now, the danger is I'm wrong about their angle, and what they believe is a limited nuclear exchange can benefit them. As if such a thing is really possible. As if such a thing is really possible. I don't know. Roger T says cranial rectal inversion. I think that's exactly what you're looking at here. The problem is, again, we're back to a point where the people that make these decisions bear no consequence for being wrong. And they've lived that way for so long, they literally think they were never wrong. This is something you don't really understand about the psychology of the power these fucking people have. They have lived so long with no consequence to being wrong that even when something doesn't work out, well, the reason it didn't work is someone over there, they do the same thing everybody else does. They just have a much bigger shield to protect their psyche and their self, right? And their position than you do. I mean, how many times have you heard a person, well, so were you ever married? Yeah. Did you get divorced? Yeah. Whose fault was it? Theirs. And then they tell this whole story, and you're like, I'm sure some of that's true. I'm also sure a lot of it isn't. And I'm also sure there's another side of the story. And I'm also sure the spouse's story is completely the other way around. It was all your fault, right? We all do this. Your business failed. Yeah, I had a bad partner, and he took the money or whatever, right? And that might even be true to a point, but it was your business. Well, these people are so insulated from that, and they're never called on their bullshit, and they're surrounded by people that reinforce their bullshit. They literally believe they're never wrong. A person with a lot of power that has no consequence for being wrong and doesn't believe that they're ever wrong is fucking dangerous. And these people are dangerous, folks. Way more dangerous than you can imagine. And when people are this dangerous, what can happen is they can destroy a country economically, and they can do it over such a long period of time and so slowly that the people that actually started the problem are dead at this point and will never even be alive to see the results of the problem. And the senior officials that are carrying it on are so insulated, they'll get away with no consequences at all. So what am I talking about now? I'm talking about our national debt. The U.S. government paid $514 billion, $514 billion, half a trillion dollars in interest on the debt, not this year, over the last 7 months. You know, Biden tells you the economy, or I should say Biden's people tell you the economy's doing really great, Jack, best in the world. We just spent $514 billion on interest on the debt in 7 months' time. That's all, you know, we're heading into the neighborhood of $100 billion a month, and we'll get there. $1.2 trillion a year on interest. You know what you get for interest payments? Nothing. $500 million in 7 months for nothing. For absolutely nothing. Based on a monetary system that was never supposed to exist, that does not have to exist. If we're going to have a fiat monetary system, backing it with debt is about as dumb as it gets. This is why I'm telling you, you better have a plan B when it comes to your investing. It better not just be, well, I'm invested in the stock market. I have ETFs and mid-size and small cap and emerging markets. I'm not even saying not to have money invested that way, because they tend to protect that market pretty well, though I do see some serious shit coming for it very, very soon. But yeah, there's no way out of this. Where do we get the half a trillion dollars every 7 months to pay the interest with? We print it, which means it's new debt with new interest. There's no way out of this. Now, Lysander Spooner, I'm sure is an internet handle. I'm sure he hasn't actually resurrected from the dead and shown up here, says they have to usher in MMT soon. They're not going to usher in MMT soon. You're looking at MMT. You're looking at MMT. MMT is, like, I think there's so many people that are confusing MMT with CBDC. CBDC is just a form of currency. MMT is modern monetary theory. A theory doesn't require a specific form of money. It could be fiat. It could be anything as long as you can print money, as long as you can make more of it without actually tendering any consideration for doing so. Then you could do, because all MMT says is it doesn't matter how much money is printed. That's really, in a nutshell, all MMT is. Like, we can literally just print money and give it to people without any bad consequences. Space Whiskey says, please God, no CBDC. You can pray all you want to God, you're getting a CBDC. And in the United States, they'll probably call it something else. And then tell you it's not a CBDC, even though it'll be exactly what a CBDC is. All they have to do right now is require that all bank accounts are registered with active monitoring by the federal government. And then instead of just a bureaucrat pushing a button that says you can't spend your money a certain way, the bank does the button pushing when the government tells them to. You don't think they'll do it? They'll do it. You know why? Because if you own a bank, you have lots of money. And what's more important to you, keeping your money or your principles? I'm going to tell you right now, especially when it's a publicly traded bank, keeping the money. They're required by law. They're required by law to do what the law says. It's called fiduciary responsibility. It's in the best interest of the institution. So whether they actually have a CBDC in the United States or whether they enact a monetary policy that effectively makes the dollar a de facto CBDC doesn't really matter, does it? It doesn't really matter. Like, all they have to do is just keep pushing back on the whole concept of cash. They won't ban cash, guys. You know what they'll do? They'll disincentivize organizations to take it. They'll make it so difficult to deposit large amounts of cash that businesses will stop taking it. Businesses won't take it anymore. Once businesses won't take it, what good is it? What good is it? And it's already en route to happen. They're already working on this. Like, we're already well down this road. But yeah, we're spending more on interest on the debt than we are on Medicaid, than we are on national defense. And I predicted this 10 years ago. I said this would happen. I even predicted the timeline of being like somewhere in the early to mid 2020s that we would hit that. And I still can't believe it, even though I knew it was coming. It is just absolutely mind-numbing that we would put ourselves in this deep of a hole. So going back to my last segment, if you think they won't do something as stupid as start a nuclear war, why would you do something so stupid as to run a monetary system to the point where you have to spend $500 billion every 7 months on interest? That doesn't make a lot of sense either. Moving on. This is actually a huge story, and it's getting very little press, which doesn't surprise me. Wisconsin pension fund now includes Bitcoin. So what did I say my main reason was for supporting the concept of a Bitcoin ETF? There was actually quite a few. A simple one was just principles. If you can have an ETF for nickel, if you can have an ETF for cadmium, if you can have an ETF for companies that make dialysis equipment, right? Then you should have an ETF for fucking anything, especially something infinitely auditable at the public level like Bitcoin. So just principles. But the real reason as a Bitcoiner was, I don't want to hear any more about Bitcoin being banned and going to zero. And I said, when you have Bitcoin in the pension funds of teachers, firefighters, cops, city employees, state employees, once that happens, it's a third rail. It's like fucking with an Indian reservation. You're just not going to do it anymore. You're not going to do it anymore. And once Wall Street gets a taste of it, then the lobbyists become the defense mechanism for Bitcoin and at a larger level crypto. Yeah? Well, here it is. The Wisconsin is the state level pension fund for all state workers. Put $160 million into a split between BlackRock and Grayscale. I'm thinking somebody in the Wisconsin government's getting blowjobs from somebody at Grayscale or something, because why you would diversify that way into Grayscale, I don't know. I don't have any other reason. Like, there's some sort of hand washing or butt scratching going on in this, because Grayscale has the highest fees. So you're just stupid for using it in your pension fund, right? Now, they also might have went to Grayscale and went, hey, is there a way we can get lower fees? I don't think that can be done with a public offering, though. But this is the bigger thing. And understand, this is a very small amount of the Wisconsin fund. And Wisconsin's in a unique position to do this. Like, Texas could do this, California couldn't. Wisconsin can do this, Illinois can't. And it's because, is your pension fund funded? So Illinois' pension fund is funded to like 45% right now. So they have short-term problems with payouts. So volatility is just the death nail. If you're fully funded in your pension fund, then you can take much more long-term volatile approaches like Bitcoin. Bitcoin goes up and down and up and down, and that's the whole point. But the big deal with this, even though it's probably like 0.2% of the total pension fund, is that somebody did it. And let me tell you something. When you're trying to get things done in government, because remember, I used to be in sales and I had to sell a lot of shit to government agencies. When you have a story of any other government having done it, everything gets easier. I'll admit I am part of an evil cabal. I didn't know what I was doing back in the day. I didn't. I'm going back to the late 90s. I used to work for a company called Garrett Comp. We sold hardened Ethernet equipment. And this was stuff that would be in military applications, like, you know, mobile networks where a bunch of Humvees would get together and then hook up a bunch of connections with our switches and then have a satellite uplink. And then you could have a network established anywhere and it could handle the dust and the dirt and the heat. This was rugged equipment. We also did a lot of stuff that went into central offices for companies like Santera and Alcatel and Nortel and stuff like that for OEM manufacturer. But one of the real applications for this type of hardened equipment is anything that has to deal with heat and cold. So you know what has to deal with heat and cold? Traffic equipment. So I sold millions of dollars of equipment for smart traffic applications. I guess somebody else would have done it if I didn't, but I really had no idea back then what I was aiding and abetting with government surveillance. But when we first started trying to sell equipment in Tarrant County here, it was, I don't know, man. You know, we have our ways of doing things. It was like old, if they weren't really using Ethernet for this, they were using some old school shit. It wasn't really working, and it wasn't going to get them where they wanted to, but they weren't sure about this approach. So then one of my counterparts out in California cracked into some local government, and it ended up selling the equipment for their traffic cameras for red light tickets. And then I was able to take that and go, hey, the city of, you know, Alameda or whatever is using our stuff. And next thing you know, I have a meeting. I have a meeting with like key stakeholders. Next thing, I've got a contract for $320,000 worth of shit. And then everywhere else I went, straight in the door. Not always got the sale, but always got the meeting, because somebody else in government did it. There's another philosophy in government. If no one got fired for doing it, then it's okay for me to do it. Now, let's be honest, they almost get fired for nothing anyway. But there's still that human fear. I don't want to be the pioneer here. I don't want to be the one that did the thing first and then it didn't work. Well, now it's not the case for Bitcoin anymore. Now you have a state-level employee pension fund holding this ETF. Now, this is the bigger piece of this. That is the bigger piece of this. Now that you have that done, any pension fund manager realizes not only has somebody else done it, but I can do it. I can do it. If you're managing a pension fund, now there might be a board you need approval from and all, but before this, it was very difficult to gain exposure to Bitcoin. You had to go in some unconventional route, buy MasterLink, buy debt issued by a public company, which is the way MasterLink did fundraising to buy Bitcoin, something like that, buy stock in, you know, Coinbase or whatever. Buying Bitcoin with pension fund money, that's part of the wall of money I've always talked about with this concept here, that money just couldn't access Bitcoin. You can't do it. They couldn't say, well, we're going to do, we're going to just buy, you know, even if they used a public company as a custodian and said, we're going to go to Coinbase, set up an account for the state of Wisconsin and buy $100 million worth of Bitcoin and let Coinbase hold on to it for us. Can't do it. Like, you say people won't get fired, but there's some things, especially financial, where, like, somebody will go to fucking jail, and that's one of them. But now it's a ticker symbol. It's like any other security that they put on the balance sheet. The floodgates are about to open. The floodgates are about to open hard on this. And that leads me to my final segment today. Let me explain to you, no matter how good things work out, if these morons do not take us into World War III, if their gambit pays off and they get whatever they think they're going to get out of it by faking World War III, if the Orange Man gets elected and does some good things and puts a stop to illegal immigration, which he'll never stop it, but let's say that he did. There's already like 30 or 40 million people here that aren't supposed to be here. Right? Like, the damage is done. We're going to mass deport 20 million people. It's not going to happen. So that problem is here. And a lot of these people, these are not Mexicans that are coming for jobs, washing dishes and cutting grass. There are people here from all corners of the world. Something Orange Man's right about. There are people here from sub-Saharan Africa. There are people here from Asia, Chinese nationals by the tens of thousands. And they are not all looking for work and on our side. And there is big money funding them coming into our country. We have never been more divided as a country. There is literal hatred between about 80% of the population of this country. 40 on one side, 40 on the other, and 20% that just don't give a fuck. But there's a good 40-40. Just like, it is no longer, oh, you voted for the other guy. I really don't understand how you did that. It's like, oh, you voted for the other guy. You scum. You scum. Right? You're either voting for a pedophile or you're voting for Hitler. And there is no other option. RFK, not going to win the election, probably helps the Orange Man a great deal. So keep going, Bobby. Not because I love the Orange Man, but because I want the left to lose. You're doing a good job. You're the best player on Trump's team. The best players on Trump's team right now are Joe Biden number one and Bobby Kennedy number two. Keep going. But even if that happens, even if Trump keeps all his promises, even if he ends these stupid interventions, and all of it is better, we're still fucked. Who's going to get rid of $34 trillion of debt? How does that work? The inflation is now 3% if you believe them, and I don't. But what are we going to do about the cumulative inflation that we have had over the last 5 years? If people literally look at you with a straight face, right? That's not what inflation is. It doesn't matter. It only matters what the current rate is. No, it does fucking matter. It does fucking matter because the delta between how much money people make and how much it buys has not shrunk. Right? It has shrunk. It's gotten worse. Like, we had this insane inflation and wages just didn't keep pace with it. We've had ridiculous upward force on the real estate market and it's now hit a ceiling that it can't break anymore. And no one can afford to buy the property that's worth more than it ever was. So is it really worth that much? No. We're fucked. We are in the black hole. We have gone over the event horizon. We are being stretched out like a thin thread. Our way of life is going to change. Your grandchildren will not know what you knew as a country. We have been fundamentally transformed. It's already happened. It's just that it's like the button was pushed and the transformation takes 50 years. And we're about 20 years into it. But I'm not saying what Dark Horse Productions thinks I am. He says, yes, it's over. No, it's changing. And it always has. One of the biggest lies that you were sold is that the United States was somehow exceptional and different from the rest of the world in all history, not just current times. That we were so exceptional that it was God's will that we stay the way we are for 1,000 years or more. That the one thing you knew was the United States would be the United States as you know it. Mom, apple pie, the whole thing. This is of absolute arrogance and complete willful ignorance to the history of humans on the planet. Empires rise and fall, and no, they are not always coming back. When was the last time you ran into a road that led to Rome? Rome used to govern the known world, for fuck's sake. Spain, at one time, was a global power. A global power. The Dutch controlled half of freaking Africa. The French were feared around the world. Spain was the source of the global currency. The Spanish Peace of 8 was the global currency. These countries don't mean anything anymore. Now, you might say I'm un-American or not patriotic or don't appreciate the sacrifices of our ancestors or some stupid bullshit because you don't like what I'm saying right now. We're not that special. Now, we were certainly handed an incredible opportunity as Americans, going all the way back to our founding. We really were. For all the flaws in the Constitution, it is one of the best forms of government that has sustained over a century or more that has ever existed. But we were fools. You can buy the best tools and give them to fools, and you're not going to get a house built. Our nation was systematically dumbed down and constantly pushed toward internal conflict. And then in 1971, the idea of easy money for all was mass sold to the population. The idea that every child should go to college was mass sold. The idea that having more administrators than workers in any sector, let alone all sectors, was a good idea was sold to people. And an inevitable reality was put into motion. My only question for you is, why are you surprised? Most of you know what I just told you is true. Most of you know that it's been going on since 1913, then 1933, a little bit 1964, but really 1971 forward, full tilt bore. Boom. How long did you think it would last? Did you think it would make it 100 years? That we would get to 2071? Do you know that's not that far away in the scheme of history anymore anyway, is it? 50 years. 2021, 50 years. Right? 50 years running this way with it basically working till now, that's probably further than the people that did it initially thought it was going to go. It's probably lasted longer because they knew they were all old fucks when they did it. They knew they would be dead by the 90s. They didn't give a fuck what was going to happen in the 2020s. I don't care. I want what I want. I want it now. And somebody went, yeah, me too. You know what? That's a great fucking catchphrase. I want what I want, and I want it now. You give me a better description of the 80s than I want what I want, and I want it now. The decade of decadence. People were poor and spending money like they were rich. And then it just got handed down and handed down and handed down. And then we got the easiest money ever. The Bush administration, Bush 2, and the Obama administration. Easiest money ever, and Trump just continued right along with it. And when interest rates went back to anything approaching reality, reality hit. Reality hit. We suppressed the price of real estate with cheap money, so the price of real estate kept climbing because people only care about the payment. Interest rates go up 3 lousy points. It's the end of the world as we know it for real estate. Fucking beautiful. And we did it to ourselves. So this is what I have to tell you. You need to figure out how to profit from this. You need to figure out how to prosper during this. Your mindset needs to be, no matter what comes our way, there will be opportunity. And do I think that you can know what that opportunity is right now? I think you can have some ideas, but I don't think it's that important. I think it has to be more of a mindset. This is what you need to understand. Problems are opportunities. Okay? Real simple. Let me say that one more time. Problems are opportunities. That's something that most people understand. If there's something people need and it doesn't exist and you create it, you can sell it because people will buy to their need. If something people want is an even better way to look at it, and that thing doesn't exist to their need. Or if you can find, hey, people want this thing, but it costs X amount, and that's more than most people that want it have, and you can figure out how to deliver it for X minus Y at the price of Z, and Z is the price those people can afford, then the problem has been corrected in their minds anyway, and you can make a profit, right? So when I say where there are problems, there are opportunities, it should be easy to understand. So this is the hard part then. So the more problems that we have, the more opportunities exist. This is the psychological leap. And if you're waiting for the third step, if you're waiting for the secret piece that I haven't given you yet, then what's happened is the same thing when you try to explain monetary creation to people, right? The process is so simple that the mind is repelled by it, right? When you explain to somebody, so when you go to a bank and you borrow money, they don't give you money. They don't have the money that you borrow. When you promise to pay it back, they printed it out of thin air and handed it to you. Your promise made the money from thin air, and they get the profit from something with no consideration to you. The first time you explain it to somebody, I know many of you have had that conversation with friends. Don't you get this look, those of you on the video? There's an episode of Friends, and Joey's talking about what tricks he has for acting. And he's like, if I want to look like I got bad news, I just try to divide 237 by 13 in my head. And that's what they look like. Is it hard to understand? It's not. Your mind goes, that can't be. That can't be how it works. No. Fucking somebody would have told me that if it was like, I can't be 35 years old and I'm just learning this now. There's people with degrees in economics, they don't understand it. They've never taught, right? That specific component of it. Because it's not something you really want to talk about a lot. I mean, supposedly, I've heard it's misattributed, but supposedly Henry Ford said of it that if the people understood it, there'd be a revolution before morning, and that's before it was this bad, before it was full fiat. So yeah, when I tell you, since opportunities, wherever there are problems, there are opportunities, the more problems we have, the more opportunities exist, it seems way simpler than it could be, but it's true. So what you have to do is you have to look around you. You have to assess your knowledge and your skills and what you're willing to do and what you're capable of doing and where you are in your walk in life and what wealth you have and what struggles you have. And you have to look at that, and it's different for every single person. That's why I'm not like giving you 10 things you should be doing, right? Like, you look at that and then you look around you and say, where do I see problems? And what role can I play in solving those problems in a way that benefits me? That's awfully selfish, Jack. Yeah, and you go to work every day because you care about the widgets that you make, right? You go to that big company every day and sit behind that desk and enter all that shit into the database because you really care about those numbers. Tell me we don't all work because it benefits us in some way to do so. I don't want to be homeless, so it benefits you by giving you a place to live, right? Like, there's nothing selfish about seeing what value you can provide and then having enough self-respect for the value you provide to make the pitch to somebody else. This is the value I have. Do you want it? And to say, I'm not giving it to you for free. This is exactly where you need to be mentally. And the people that do this will be like the people during the Great Depression who became the next great generation of wealth. There were more fortunes built leading up to, during, and immediately after the Great Depression than any time in the history of our country up until the dot-com boom. And the difference back then was there had to be something real. There's a lot of people who have gotten rich in this technological age. They've really done nothing of any significance. Wouldn't matter if they never existed. If you were going to get rich in 1935, you had to be doing something that had a concrete deliverable to somebody willing to pay you for it. And that dynamic has not changed. That is how you develop real wealth, lasting wealth. So that's the mindset you need. Weathered Soul says the economic illiterate, and he might be talking to somebody else, but boy, isn't that an opportunity in of itself? A world where people are economically illiterate. You ever notice how many of the books that I recommend to you were written like around the turn of the last century up until like the time of the Great Depression and shortly thereafter it, right? Like look at some of the books from that time frame. Let's say they had 1890 up to about 1940, 1950. Look at the books that were written that became huge, made their authors millions, Think and Grow Rich, Richest Man in Babylon. Just a couple examples. There's a couple that just slipped out of my brain right here, and we need to wrap up anyway. But I'm going to tell you, that's the mindset you need to have. I want to real quick tell Bonnie Blue, thank you for the super chat at $9.99. That right there is more than I would have made if I had ads turned on. So thank you for that, Bonnie. You're always pitching in, and I really appreciate you. If you ever need something mentioned on air, dude, email me and just tell me who you are when you email me, unless your email address matches your handle. You've been around a long time and I appreciate you. Jeff says, is Bitcoin a way to get past the unfunded liabilities? Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's probably the only way. So the one thing the government could do right now, but it won't. And I don't know that it would get past it, but it could certainly deflate the burden thereof. The United States government could buy billions and billions of billions and billions of dollars worth of Bitcoin right now, ensuring its forever success and ensuring tremendous upward pressure on the price for all time, because other countries would do it too. They could throw that into the country's reserves, financial asset reserves, like they hold gold, and they could wait. And when they hit a crunch point with fiat, they could begin liquidating it and relatively small to the whole amounts to fund the gap. Yeah, they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. And if they do, it will shock the living shit out of me. And part of me doesn't want them to. Because part of me thinks we need a collapse of the systems of power and control right now. And that actually would be a lifeline. And it's actually so fundamentally simple for them to do it. So fundamentally simple for them to do it. There's a shitload of people, when that number just started skyrocketing, they would dump all they had. But eventually that would run out. And the governments of the world would become the highest bidders on newly minted Bitcoins. And there's only a million of those going to be produced over the next roughly 100 years. What does that do? Everybody wins, except the people that didn't get in when they could. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're sitting on a lot of Bitcoin and something happens this cycle, like $250,000 Bitcoin, and you're like, nah, I'll just sell, you know, 10, 2.5 million bucks, you'll never get it back. You'll never get it back. You'll never get it back. Anyway, with that, guys, I want to say thank you for tuning in today. Again, tomorrow I will be on air, and I will run it as my podcast as well, with John Willis of SOE Tactical Gear and Nicole Sauce from Living Free in Tennessee. I have a pretty big announcement coming from Nicole. I hope I'll get it up for you tomorrow. I've owed it to her for like 2 weeks now, but I just haven't been able to get it done. But it's a pretty cool thing. And then I have an interview on Wednesday. We're going to talk about building houses on Thursday, which I think will be cool with someone that's actually done it. And let's go ahead and wrap up here. I want to remind you guys again, I do have a sale going on at MSB right now, $35 a year, price locks in for life unless you cancel. And the discount code is TSPC. If you go to the survivalpodcast.com, scroll down, you'll see the sale and all the stuff. Or you just go to members and sign up and just use code TSPC on sign up. And if you are a person with an expired account, you should have gotten an email with a little bit better of a deal to win you back today as well. Next up, I also want to tell you about our item of the day today. You can always find my item of the day by going to tspaz.com. You can always support us whenever you shop online by going to tspaz.com first. Today's item of the day is the InstaAccu Slim Sous Vide Precision Cooker. I love this sous vide tool. I've been using it since I purchased it. I had one by Nova that burned out on me, and I ended up picking this one up because it was on sale, and I thought I'll give it a shot. It's worked out beautifully. They normally sell for about $100, which is better than the Jewel and the Anova price. But today they're on sale for $69. And it's one of those products. It goes on sale a lot, but it usually goes on for a day or two and it's gone. If you've wanted to get in the sous vide world, this is a good time to do it. If you are ever in that situation where, like, I really could use a second circulator, you will not be dissatisfied picking this thing up. Just let me say that. Again, you can find it and all the products I recommend at tspaz.com. With that, take care, folks. I'll catch you tomorrow with another episode. Just run you round. They said you should have a house the American way. Dollar down, a dollar a month, and you never have to pay. There's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way.